Hallelujah. Okay, what I want to do is go ahead and put the title up. I think you have it there, right? Let's put that title up there of the message. What does it say? Hello?
Craving the supernatural.
There you go. Craving the supernatural. And this is a part of the anointing series that the Lord is leading us down this pathway. And this is a part of it. If we don't crave the anointing, crave the supernatural, okay, it's going to pass us by. I'm telling you, it will pass us by. Have you ever been that person who you arrive at a church service late and you're there and it's great, great service and everything, and then everybody's leaving and a couple people pull you over and they go, man, you should have been here, you know? He goes, I was here. He said, no, within the first 20 minutes, you know, I mean, God did some miracles and stuff, and you're going, rats, you know, and then a couple weeks later, same thing happens again. You're late, you know, and God walks up to you, and you go, I know, I missed it, right? And he said, yeah, you should have been here, okay? So we make our mind up to say, I'm going to get there early, and they get there early, and once you know it, the miracle happens after they leave. No. That'd be a real bummer, wouldn't it? No, it's just in sharing that story, because it did happen with a gentleman that I know, and he got there early, and this would happen about five times that he was late, and he missed a lot of things that were happening. He got there early. He opened up the doors for everybody. He was there early. He sits in there, and the miracle took place in his life. In his life that night, which was great. And he just said, I'm never missing again. I'm getting here early, you know. So, hallelujah. I mean, do you think God can do stuff like that? Like that? I think he can do things like that, and I think he does. Let's start with a couple affirmations. Here we go. Psalms 27:1 says, the Lord is the strength of my life. That was weak. Let's do it again. The Lord is the strength of my life. Psalms 27:1. There we go. Let's get to number two. This is in Isaiah 30:15. It says, In returning and rest, I shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be my strength. Quietness and confidence shall be my strength. Let's do another one. Isaiah 40, verse 31 says, I am one who waits on the Lord. So shall I renew my strength. I shall mount up with wings like eagles. I shall run and not be weary. I shall walk and not faint. Hallelujah. Isn't that a good one? Shoot, praise the Lord. Let's do another one. That's in Isaiah 41:10. I fear not, for you are with me. I am not dismayed, for you are my God. You will strengthen me. Yes, you will help me. You uphold me with your righteous right hand. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's do one more. Matthew 17:20. Even though I have faith as small as a mustard seed, I can say to this mountain, move from here and to there. And it will move from here to there. Nothing will be impossible to me. Amen. That's Matthew 17:20. Hallelujah. Aren't those good? I like affirmations and getting into that. Praise the Lord. Let's put up the first verse. We're going to have four keynote scriptures. Then we're going to have a word of prayer. I'm going to read something. We're in Isaiah 10:27. That's our keynote scripture. Who would like to read that? Nice and loud for everybody. Isaiah 10:27. You can read it off the board or from your Bible. Go ahead. Because of the anointing oil, or just the anointing. That's right. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Let's go to Psalms 81:7. This is a psalm that not too many people have actually read, unless you do a study of the Psalms. But 81:7. Okay? 81:7. Hallelujah. Go ahead. Nice and loud. Who has it? Meribah, Selah. Amen. But I want you to pay close attention to this verse, okay? It says here that you called in trouble. We called the Lord when we were in trouble, okay? And that's okay. The Lord wants us to. And he said, I delivered you. Then let's go on. He says, I answered you where? In the secret place of thunder. Where does that happen? Where does that happen? The secret place of thunder. Okay, we've been in a thunderstorm or something like that, and that thunder goes. Where is that place? Where is that place? It's a secret place. Yeah. And God wants to show us this place. Okay? A burst of energy is right. Big time. Yep. Hallelujah. Let's go to Psalms 91. One. Glory to Jesus. Everybody loves Psalms 91. Amen. Psalms 91. And I challenge you all to write these verses down because we're talking about some things here about the anointing and craving the supernatural. I'm telling you something. That's a supernatural thing. When you hear thunder, you see it, but where did it come from? Where did it come from? Okay. Hallelujah. Psalms 91:1. Who wants to read that nice and loud?
He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty.
Ooh, he who dwells or lives in the secret place of the Most High shall abide and live under the shadow of the Almighty. Amen. Amen. This is what God's calling us to. This secret place. This secret place. Do you crave that place? I do. Oh, man, I crave it. Oh, in growing up, I've craved baseball so much. I ate, I drank, I slept. I did everything revolved around baseball. I even dreamt. You're talking about a dream you had? I even dreamt of baseball. I'm telling you. Dreaming of baseball with my brother had bunk beds. I'm in the top bunk bed, and I'm telling you, I could describe this dream to you today. This dream was a line drive. I'm playing shortstop, and the line drive was between third and short, and I took a dive, and I caught that ball on my knees, threw it to first, and got a double play. We win the game. But it was still a dream, and I'm on the floor. My brother's screaming, Mama, I dreamt that Larry fell out of the bed. I'm in the corner with a bruise on my head, and I'm just going, oh, my gosh, what happened? I dove out of that bed. I didn't just fall. I didn't just fall out of the bed. I'm telling you. But I'm going to say this. That was a dream I had as a kid, but I had an opportunity to fulfill that dream when I played in later in the years. Yeah. Diving for a line drive on my knees through the guy at first, double play, we ended the game and we won. And the Lord said, see, your dreams are not in vain. They're not in vain, no matter how many years pass. It doesn't matter. That's a word for somebody here besides you too. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. And before we read that, in the Hebrew, a secret place actually means it's a place of mystery. Okay? It's a place of mystery. But if somebody was to say in the Hebrew language, I can't actually pronounce it, sorry, But in the Hebrew language, if you were to hear somebody say secret place, it actually means a place where the mouths are shut. A place where the mouths are shut. Okay? That's in the Hebrew. And it's so exciting because you're going, okay, that means people are listening. They're listening to what God has to say in the secret place. Remember when Jesus was being baptized and he came up from the water and the scripture says that there was thunder. A sound like thunder. People thought it was thunder. But what actually took place? It was God the Father speaking, saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." And everybody thought it was thunder. That was for free. Hallelujah. Think about that. Praise the Lord. Acts 10:38. Who wants to read that? Praise the Lord. 10:38. Should be up in there. Okay. Who wants to read it? Okay. Healing who? For God was with him. Did I cut you off too soon? I'm sorry. Yeah. Good. I cut you off too soon. Sorry. For God was with him. He healed all who were oppressed by the devil. I was reading a book, and this book was written by a psychologist. And this psychologist was studying the human spirit and the mind, basically. And he was getting into it, and he got so frustrated. He said, I can't go any further. There's nothing here that describes the human spirit and separating it from the mind. I mean, there's nothing in the world, in the knowledge, in all of this. I must do something. I must take out my Bible. He took out his Bible, read his Bible from beginning to end, everywhere about the Spirit and the Spirit man. He got born again. Okay, he understood the Spirit man. He quit his profession, became a Spirit-filled minister, and said, "Now I see where sickness and disease comes from. It doesn't come from the outside. It comes from the inside. And the devil's taking advantage of that." Okay? And when we learn how to handle that from the inside, we can eradicate sickness on this planet. Hallelujah. Yeah, we can. We can. Glory to God for his glory. Hallelujah. Those were our keynote scriptures for this evening. We're going to get into some more, but let's pray right now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we're gathered here. Sure, we're small in numbers, but we are large in the power of God that's in this building. Hallelujah. One may put 1,000 to flight, but 2, 10,000. And there's more than 2,000. There is at least 100,000 being put to flight right now in Jesus' name. We thank you for that. Thank you, Father. We ask that you move mightily in our midst, that you would perform a mighty work here tonight, and you'll show us all that we all have. We may not feel it. We may not understand it, but we all have that craving for the supernatural. It's in us. And I ask you, Heavenly Father, to awaken that spirit that's in us so that we can operate in the gifts of the Spirit and operate in the anointing in what you've called us to do, glory to God, because you are greater than he that is in the world, because you live within us. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. There's something I have to read to you. The Lord wanted me to share. This was written by a pastor. Just take a minute. It'll probably take about 3 minutes, 4 minutes maybe for me to read. Listen carefully to this, okay? If you didn't catch a sentence, say stop, read it again, okay? And I want you to get a hold of this, and then we're going to really dive into the scriptures about what we're talking about here. Okay, it says, "We love stories of the supernatural and the miraculous." Amen? That's a good thing. God wants to manifest himself. A dry, dead meeting has no drawing power. But a service where believers are richly blessed by the unfolding of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit in manifestation is a drawing power for people everywhere. To crave the supernatural is inbred in every human being on this planet. The church at large is the blame for the rise of the occult in America. The heart of mankind seeks after the supernatural in some form or another. We've heard of horoscopes and things of that nature. That's all a part of that, okay? That's right. If people had it in the church, if they had the supernatural in the church where it belongs, people would be there in droves. Men and women long to see the manifestations of the power of God, to feel the thrill of the touch of the Master's hands at work. Our hearts yearn to live in an atmosphere of the supernatural. The miracle realm is our natural realm as the children of God. We are by creation the champions of a miracle working Father of God. We're his champions. Sin dethroned us, but through grace we have been given the opportunity to regain what was lost. We now have our spirits restored to its place of dominion. That's why living in the Spirit, the realm of the spiritual supernatural, is where God is calling us. Here, let me share this with you. This is where God tells us in his word exactly how to put the supernatural to work. Let's turn to Mark chapter 11. That's our next verses, okay? Mark chapter 11. And we're going to start, I think, with verse 13. Is that right? Mark 11, and we're going to start with verse 13. Well, we can even say on the 12th verse, which is fine, stays in here. It says, on the morrow, on the next day, when they came from Bethany and they were hungry. That was an old Bible college joke, because my Bible college name was Bethany. And everybody said, where are you coming from, Bethany? Yeah, and I'm hungry. Didn't eat there, he said. Anyway, joke. Verse 13. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, and happily that he might find something thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of the figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it. Notice how he answered and said to it. He said to it. Did it ask him a question for him to answer? No, he was answering a reply from the leaves that were there and no fruit. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if the time wasn't there. We have the miracle working God right here. Okay? The miracle working God, if he commands a fig, he can command a fig. It's time to eat. He's hungry. Okay? Didn't matter if it was winter, spring, summer, or fall. It didn't matter. Okay? And he said to it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples, what? They heard it. They heard what he was saying. Okay? Verse 15 says, and they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to, what? Cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through of the temple. Why is that so strange? Carrying something through the temple. They weren't allowed to. Okay, but they were doing it, and he corrected them. And then he taught them, verse 17, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called, my house shall be called of all nations. Of all nations. Are you catching this? Of all nations, not just of Jerusalem, of all nations, the house of what? The house of prayer. But you have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his teaching or his doctrine. And when even was come, he went out of the city. Verse 20. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the what? The fig tree. And what happened to it? It was dried up or withered up from where? The roots. Have you ever seen a tree that's dried up from the roots as compared to just dried up? There's a big difference. Okay? You know that thing is dead from the roots up. It's dead. Nothing's going to happen to it unless Jesus, again, decides to raise it from the dead. Okay? Which he did. Isn't that not true? Okay? It dried up by the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance. Huh. That's a sermon in itself, Pastor. Calling things to remembrance. Anyway, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which you what? Cursed is withered away. And Jesus answered, said unto them, have faith in God. The original says, have the faith of God, or have the God kind of faith. Okay? For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall what? Say. Whosoever shall what? Speak. Say. Talk. Okay? Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea. Bless you. And shall not what? Doubt in his where? Heart. Doesn't say anything about the head. Says about the heart. Okay? Shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says or talks, okay, shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he says. Verse 24, therefore, he's concluding it here, I say, I don't mime it, I say it to you, or speak sign language, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, we speak something, amen? We speak. When you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall what? Have them. Not just see them, you shall have them. Hallelujah. That's the verse I want to end with there. Because he's talking about saying. Notice here, he said saying things three or four times. Three or four times he said, say something. Say something. We talked about here on what to do, how to get the craving for the supernatural. How are we going to get the supernatural to flow in our lives, in our household, in our church, in our jobs, wherever? We got to what? We got to say something. We have to say something. We have to speak it. I'm going to have you guys write these things down. There are three things to this. In saying something, the first thing, you must identify your mountain. Identify your mountain. Pastor and I were talking about when you first get saved and you read that verse, you're going, woohoo, I don't like that mountain being there, so I'm going to talk to that mountain. Yeah, and I'm going to believe that mountain's going to go away. The next day it's still there, and you go, oh, I'm going to do it again. Next day it's still there, and then what happens? We fall because we doubt. we doubt. It doesn't matter if we doubt it here. It's here. When you doubt in your heart, you're doomed. Your prayer is over at that point. You better repent and do it again. You know? This is how God wants us to be. This is how the kingdom of God operates. It operates just this way. So identify your mountain. What is your mountain? Could be finances. Could be a health issue. It could be children. It could be an actual mountain. It doesn't matter. Identify the mountain that you have to speak to. Okay? The second one is to speak the desired results that you're going to speak to the mountain. What is it you want the mountain to do? Get taller? We want it to die. Speak the desired results of the mountain. What do you want that mountain to do? Facetiously, I said, we want it to get taller and bigger. Well, some people think so. Whatever the mountain is, speak the desired results. Whatever it is, whatever it is. We want the Spirit of God to move in here unhindered by any satanic force in the name of Jesus. So when we walk through these doors, I don't care if it's under your breath or you're screaming it. You're saying, devil, you can't stay here in the name of Jesus because the Spirit of God lives here. The Spirit that lives within me lives here, dwells here, performs here, does miracles here. This is what God says. We have to do that. That's our desired results. That's our desired results. And the third thing is, you must believe it now. Now is always now. Now is not tomorrow, and now is not yesterday. Now is always now. Can you put up Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, please? This is something I want everybody to look at and pay close attention. And if you don't have it circled in your Bible, do it. Hebrews 11, 1. Who would like to take a gamble at reading that nice and loud? Go ahead, Josh. Okay, you started with a word. What was the word?
Now.
Oh, I didn't hear that very well. Say it again.
Now.
Okay, this verse says, now faith is. Not tomorrow's faith, not next week's faith, not yesterday's faith. Now faith. Now faith. Now faith. When we walk through this and we're speaking, I'm speaking right now, and this faith is right now. It's right now. I may not see the evidence of it yet. That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. When Jesus, we're talking the God of the universe, talked to a fig tree, when he left the fig tree, nothing was changed of the fig tree. By the sight, it looked the same. It was the same. But the next day, what happened? Even the disciples said, this thing is dead. It's so dead, it's dead from the roots up. Okay? Now faith is. Now faith is. Read that verse again, Josh, with an emphasis on the first word.
Now. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
That's right. It's now faith. That whole verse ties together and is held together by that one three-letter word. Now. If you are not believing, if I am not believing right now, when am I going to believe? When am I going to? If Jesus was to walk through that door right now and say, Larry, I see your faith. Hallelujah. I'm going to give praise to God the Father with you. But I have something against you. Your faith is tomorrow. That would crush me. That would crush me. Because he would say, your faith is not now. You are not obeying that verse. You have to believe it now. Larry, believe it now. When you say it, when you confess it, it's now. When you get saved, it's not tomorrow. When is it? It's now. When you repent, you're repenting now. It's now. Now faith is. Now faith is. God's always now. That's a sermon again right there. He is always now. He's always now. Oh, man. But he may say, I'm honoring your now faith, but I'll give it to you in a month. And then what happens during that month? Nothing but trials and tests to try to dig up that now faith. That's right. It's try to kill that root that's there. Because you can't see the root. You can't see it. No, you can't see it. You can only see the trees. Oh, these trees are looking good. Yeah, it's great. Okay. And the next day, it's dead. Oh, bugs must have got it. Sure, didn't matter. Something killed it. And it was us not keeping our now faith turned on. Okay? Well, I believe in, you know, conserving energy. No. Let God pay your electric bill. Amen? Give you an example. When I was in Bible college, I had to work my way through school. Okay? And summer was time right between my sophomore and junior year. I didn't have a job. So I had a friend who lived in Reedley in Fresno, California. And they had the peach groves. You know, they had peaches. And so I wasn't one who was going to pick the peaches and the fruit. I was one who drove a truck when everything was loaded on there, and I drove it to the packing plant, you know. And I was thankful for that job, okay. But as I was driving to Fresno the day before my job started, I knew how much money I was going to make if I remained faithful to make sure that I was going to do it. I knew Fresno was hot in the summer. It's time to go swimming, go cruising or drifting and floating down the Kern River and all this stuff. You know, there's a lot of temptations out there being a teenager, you know. And I said, I'll be faithful. I can do this. And the Lord said to me as I'm driving my Vega there, and he said, old Chevy Vegas, remember? That dates us, right? And driving, the Lord said, did you know that this is your mountain? I'm going, what? And he referred me to this, and he goes, this is your mountain. This financial deficit to stay in school so you could get it. So you need to start speaking now before your job even starts. He follows his word. He said, speak it now. So I'm driving over the grapevine, heading down to 99, you know. And I said, thank you, Lord, for sharing this with me. And I speak and I say to that financial mountain, be thou removed in Jesus' name. I cast you out in Jesus' name. This work that I'm going to do is going to provide for that because you gave me the job, Lord. In Jesus' name, be thou removed. Gone. I finished my task, sir, my job, and I got more than enough. Even pay my tithes. I got more than enough, and hallelujah. Yeah. And he said, yeah, see, that's how the principle works. That's how it works. It's now. It's now. Start now. Start now. Right now. Right after I graduated Bible college, just another example. I wanted a 4x4, a nice big 4x4 Jimmy truck. I wanted a 4x4. I didn't have the money for it, so I started believing God for one. Okay, so I'm going to believe God for one. And the Lord said, where's your seed faith? I said, seed faith? Okay, where's my seed faith? I got you know, a couple $100 here and stuff like that. And he said, that sounds like good seed faith to me. So I said, okay. So what I did two things. I gave, okay, and the other thing I did, I bought some fog lights. Hear me. I bought fog lights for the front of my 4x4 right next to the winch that it's going to have, you know. And I bought the fog lights and I said, here's some seed that I'm planting for my 4x4. The joy in my heart when I had that there and I gave like that to the Lord, I could just feel the Lord chuckle, you know. And I'm just going, is that what you're talking about, Lord? And he said, you got it. You got it. And I said, thank you, Lord. Yeah. Yeah. And what the crazy thing is, I got my 4x4 in 3 weeks after that. And I'm just going, you mean to tell me, some person said, you bought your fog lights and God gave you a 4x4 truck? If you want to say so, sure. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It'll work. It'll work. This is what he's talking about. This is what now faith is all about. I treated those fog lights if I had a 4x4 already. I have one. I'm ready to go put them on my truck. Even though I don't have my truck, but I'm ready. Say, oh man, you're just boasting. I'm boasting on God. Oh my gosh, if I would have wished for that thing, no way. It all would have fell flat. But that's not how it works. Let me give you one more example of that. Everybody know who TBN, Trinity Broadcast Network, when it first started? We're talking back in the UHF days, Channel 40. That was the old UHF, and you had to have your antenna at a certain, otherwise you wouldn't get Channel 40. You had to move it, okay? So bless his heart. You know, bless their heart. Yeah, oh yeah. And rabbit ears, all of it. Yeah, foil up on the top and on the roof. But Paul and Jan got somebody who was a radio frequency expert. Okay, I don't know if you guys know the story, but we had to find this out for sure. And it is documented still to this day in TBN. You probably know the story. But they got this radio frequency expert. And he did the whole research as to why it was so snowy and fuzzy coming into the San Gabriel Valley and certain parts of L.A. and Victorville. You couldn't get it. Can't get it. And he said, you know when you're on the 57 freeway and you're going into Orange County and there's Lambert Avenue right there, that little mountain, that little hill that's right there to the right? He said, that's your problem. That mountain, that hill is your problem. And unless you can get permission or something or buy it and destroy half of it, he said, the distance, it was just, you know, impossible. You just couldn't get up there and just start digging away at it. So that's when TBN, and he just said, we're calling out time for fasting and prayer. We believe that this signal is going to reach all of California. So we're asking God to move the mountain. God moved the mountain. He moved it so that signal can come through. Even to this day, you can check out the surveyor's reports in Orange County, and that mountain is moved. Yeah. And it's like, God doesn't do stuff like that today. Really? Really? I beg to differ. He gets a praise offer for that. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is still in the sign business. I can hardly wait, you guys. I can hardly wait. And we get a sign even right here to start, because it's now, the revival's now. Yes. Putting a big sign up there saying revival is here now. I can hardly wait. Yeah, it's going to happen. Yep. Mm-hmm. Ooh. Jesus bumps already. He wants to demonstrate his anointing with signs and wonders and miracles. Everybody raise your hand and say, I'm a miracle. I'm going to be a part of a miracle. That's right. That's right. You'll be a part. You're going to be a part of somebody's miracle. That's right. Hallelujah. That's right. Right now. The disciples didn't know what they were doing, and they were a part of a miracle. All of them. Yeah. 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 Oh. Oh. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 10. We're going to finish up with these verses, and then I have a story and a testimony to share. Acts chapter 10, we're going to start verse 34, and we're going to read through 43. Acts chapter 10. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. 10:34 says, then Peter opened his mouth. Did what? Did what? He spoke. He spoke. He said something. He spoke. He spoke and said, of a truth. That's King James for saying, this is a fact, you guys. Okay? I perceive that God is what? No respecter of persons. No partiality. He'll treat me the same as Kim. He'll treat me the same as Jeanette. He'll treat me, all of us, the same. All of us the same. That's why, hey, everybody, hey, I'm a part of a miracle. I am a miracle, and I'm a part of somebody's miracle. But however you're going to be called to do it, okay? Because we have a testimony we're going to share about how we were a part of a miracle that happened even just today and last night at our prayer meeting. So in our church service or our Bible study. Verse 35, but in every nation, he that fears him and works righteousness is accepted with him. In every nation, this is a Jew talking to everybody around Jerusalem. Okay? He's saying it all. He's saying, hey, I perceive of a truth. You can be from anywhere in the world. Anywhere. If you treat him right, he'll treat you right. Oh, glory. Verse 36. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel. Now he's going to talk Old Covenant here. Preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. Jesus spoke peace. Hear me. He spoke peace, not the absence of war. What's the peace that he preached? All of it. Nothing missing, nothing broken. That's what Jesus preached. And he said, if you're broken, I can fix that. Show me your faith right now. I can take care of that. I can take care of that. That's right. Do you believe I can do that? Yeah. Shared at the men's camp about Jesus healing the 10 lepers. Only one came back, and that one came back, he was a Gentile. He was a Samaritan. And Jesus said, where are the other 9? Where are they? We're not all 10 healed? And he goes, I guess, but I don't know about them. I just know about me. I just know about me. I'm here to thank you. I'm here to do right. To do right. And if leprosy took off an ear or an arm or a foot, he has a new ear, arm, or foot when he left Jesus. The other 9 were healed, but they were not made whole. This is what God is saying. Nothing missing. Nothing broken. This is what he wants us to have. Let's go to verse 37. That word I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. Verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of where? Nazareth. And didn't a disciple say, what good can come out of Nazareth? How do you think Jesus felt? What good can come out of Nazareth? But he just said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, trying to make it so plain and so clear that everybody knew that he was from Nazareth. Didn't matter if it's good or bad, he still came from there. To do what? Baptize him, or he anointed him with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing what? Good, or things that were functional. He went about doing good and what? healing all that were oppressed of the devil. This one? Oh, yeah. Okay. Thank you. And healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Everybody repeat after me. Oppression is of the devil. Oppression is of the enemy. I am free from oppression because of Jesus. Hallelujah. Right there. Hallelujah. Okay. For God was with him. Did we not just establish that God's no respecter of persons? Is he with you, Josh? Yeah. It's the scripture. He's with us. He's with us too. Not just Jesus. No. He's with us. Huh. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, who they slew and hanged on a tree. Him, Jesus, God raised up the third day and showed him openly. He was there for the world to see. If anybody wanted to see him, he's there. I'm here. Let's do this. That's right. Verse 41. Not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. Jocko's? Are you going to Jocko's? No, see, he ate and drank. Yeah. Not with everybody. I'm going to say something right here, and I want you to just hear me and don't read into what I'm saying. Okay? God loves us all, and he likes being with us. But sometimes we do things that make God want to say, I don't want to hang with you today. I don't want to hang around with you today. Why? Only we know what we would do to tick the Lord off. Only we know. That's it. Yeah, only we know. And forgive us all. Forgive us all. That's why the Lord is saying, I want you with me every day, every minute of the day. It's going to be like that in heaven. So get practice now. There's that word again, now. Start practicing now. Start practicing now. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay? Glory. Glory to Jesus. Here we go. Verse 42. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. Sure, he's our Lord, but that's why he can actually say, I don't want to hang with you today because I don't want to have to judge you today. Think about this, okay? Because he has been given the ordination and authority to judge the living and the dead. Oh, come on. This is where we got to say, Lord, go ahead, read my mail. Forgive me. Forgive me on anything. I just want to be pleasing in your sight. You're no respecter of persons, but hallelujah. Keep me before your eyes as I keep you before mine. This is what God's wanting us to do. Hallelujah. Verse 43. To him all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believes in him shall receive what? Remissions of sins. When would you receive forgiveness of sins? When you believe in him, right? And you either believe in him right now or Not at all. You could do it later. You could postpone it. That's okay. But don't forget, the scripture says that he's been ordained to judge the living and the dead. Okay? This is what he's trying to tell us here. Hallelujah. In closing, these verses are pretty powerful, which you all can agree, amen? From July 10th, from 8:20 till about 9:10, somewhere around there, we had our Bible study last night and our prayer meeting. And we dove into the presence of God last night. Okay. We had a good time in the presence of the Lord. We prayed for people who are, according to the doctors and things, were terminal. We prayed for a lot of people, everybody. We had like 14, 15 people there last night, which is great. Hallelujah. And it's growing even more. Glory to God. And so we had a good prayer time. And after we prayed, did you guys feel anything when we left? How about you? Okay. Lupe, Pastor Pete. Okay, Jan, Josh, okay. Something different happened last night in the realm of the spirit, in the realm of the supernatural, okay? And what was exciting about it, which validated it. Let me get a drink here real quick. What validated it is last night Jeff has brought a lot of his family to our Bible study, and they're all getting saved one by one. You know, they're coming around and they're believing God and they're asking God for miracles. Oh, yeah, yeah, he's there. Yeah, last night he received something good. He texted me today, but we prayed for Bonnie, is Jeff's sister. We prayed for Bonnie's son. His name is Danny. And Danny has been in tremendous pain. He's been diagnosed with terminal stomach and liver, lung and liver cancer. Okay. And we took him to the throne of grace. Okay. Just like we did everybody, there's no respecter of persons. Everybody goes to the throne of grace when they ask for prayer. This morning, at 10:10 a.m., okay, I get a phone call. I'm doing some studying and reading. I get a phone call, and it's Bonnie. Bonnie on the telephone, she calls me, and she says, weepingly, because her son lives just the next street over. And she's crying, and she says, could you please, you and Jan, I'll come and pick you up, but could you please come over and pray again? And we said, no, we'll be there. We'll be there in about 45 minutes to an hour. So, yeah, well, we went there. And I'm just, the supernatural is real in God's realm. We're not taking it and doing anything that is not of God. Her youngest son, Andy, came out and met us when we pulled in. They had told us to pull in the driveway. We pulled in the driveway. He came out. He met us. He introduced himself and took us in the house. And the grandmother was there. She's 93. She's a prayer warrior for Jeff's family. Bonnie was there. And I look on the couch, and Danny was on the couch, just laying there. He was in a lot of pain. And I look and I see him. And it took me everything to hold back from weeping and crying, because I don't know where, I don't know when, but I saw him before. I shared it with Jan when we left, and I saw him in the spirit or somewhere, somehow, I don't know. And I saw me laying hands on him and praying for him. I saw him. I said, I know you somehow. I don't. I'd never seen him before in my life. Okay? We prayed for him. We Oh, yeah, we cursed that thing, and we laid hands on him, anointed him with oil. Andy, Bonnie's son, Bonnie's the mother, or which is Danny's grandmother, we're all laying hands on him, we're praying, and we're just believing God for just a turnaround. And the Lord said, he needs to receive the Lord tonight or today. So I went, okay, hallelujah. No job is complete until salvation is there. So nothing. We're just praising God because it was, Bonnie just even, she said it was just a wonderful experience in the Lord. Danny, who we prayed for, he's just going, yeah, I feel good. He was like, yeah, thank you. I'm starting new. Everything is coming up. And then Bonnie just says, because I felt it was up to her. And I said, be quiet, Larry. Be quiet. So I was quiet. And Bonnie said, Danny, would you like to make Jesus your Lord and Savior and receive him right here? He goes, yes, I do. And then she said, Pastor Larry, would you lead him in the sinner's prayer? So we led him to the Lord this morning, and heaven was rejoicing, but he even had in his spirit, you know, a new sense of life, healing. He had to go to the oncologist today, went to the oncologist, and Bonnie, before she would even talk to her family, she came to our house first. She says, I have to tell you first. You know, she says, I got to tell you what happened. The doctors and the nurses just said nobody could get him in this quick or anything, you know, all this stuff. And you talk about favor. You know? And she's just praising the Lord, and we're praising the Lord with her and stuff. Did I forget anything? Whatever? Or? Yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah, and the doctor, because I told them before we left today, I said, they're at City of Hope, I said, before you leave, make sure you ask this question to the physicians. Where does God come in the equation? The last question of the day, because you're going to have questions. Where is God in this situation? Danny couldn't, you know, he couldn't ask the question. He was just so... just feeling, you know, just overwhelmed with a lot of things. So Bonnie said, I have to ask, doctor. And she didn't get a chance to ask. I was going to say, she didn't get a chance. And the doctor just said, he just went over and grabbed Danny's hand. Just like when they're having an arm wrestle. He just grabbed it really hard and just said, you, me, and God, we're getting through this. Yeah, you're going over on this. Yeah, you're going to pull through. And Danny told Bonnie, just said, he squeezed my hand so hard, I thought he was going to break my hand, but he says it was a good handshake, you know. And that was just today. Things like this, we get opportunities every day. And in closing, God is actually saying to us, how many times have you told me, this is God talking to us, how many times have you told me that you want me to use you? And I send somebody your way, or even give them a picture of their face, a phone number, a name, and you do nothing with it. We do. And the Lord's refreshing us in a remembrance. Call to our remembrance, Lord, these times that you've told us to pray for somebody. And we either got so busy, lazy, or just neglected to do it. Help us, Lord, to pick up that mantle and do it again. And to do it. Because there are miracles going to take place in this congregation. And if we are not ready for the supernatural, it will pass us by. It will pass us by. It will not pass by this church. Nope. Not especially when God shared that with us. For him to just, you know, we're not special. for him to just say, yeah, I want you to pray for him and then tell him that he's going to be the start of something big in this family. His grandmother and Bonnie, they all start crying. And his sister came in, they all start crying. And the youngest brother starts crying and going, we believe it, you know. But that's going to happen in this church.
That's right.
Amen. God's doing it.
That song last night was his song.
Yes, it was.